As we stand, let us pray. Lord, we ask that you will reveal to us something of what it means to be called to be your disciples. And help us, Lord, to have your Holy Spirit transforming us so that we might love as you love. Amen.
Amen.
Do sit down. Now, I'm not entirely convinced this is working. Can you hear me? You think so? Oh, that's good. There's a little red light, and I don't know whether I'm being heard or not. I like to be switched on, don't you? Yeah? Now, I realise it's a sad day today, because Julie's left, and Paul and the family, and I'm sure you're going to miss her. And it's going to be a time of change. It doesn't seem that long ago, does it, since I was in this church welcoming her to ministry. So perhaps it's appropriate that I should be here on this first Sunday. So I've brought something to sweeten the pill, as it were. So, lads, I wonder if you could help me. Could you make sure everyone gets one of these? You see, you're near the seaside, so I've brought you some rock. Okay?
Has it got bells?
It hasn't got Wells, or Western, or World through it, but it does have some words through it. Make sure the choir gets some as well. You might want to take a handful each, boys, and then you can take it.
It won't take quite a long time. Take that to the choir. Take it to the choir.
I'll tell you what, I spot it coming out. It's almost gone. Where's that collection coming? Oh, well, you do the choir, that's fine. Who can read, once they've got it, what it says through the middle?
Mission.
Mission and evangelism. Now, that's quite something to get through a stick of rock, isn't it? They've been specially made for our diocese. Because, as some of you are aware, I hope all of you are aware, we're trying to put mission and evangelism at the heart of everything that we do. Even our sticks of rock. It's about how do we live and how do we tell the story of Jesus. That's what mission and evangelism is. And we're doing that because we recognise that God loves us so very much. And if God loves the world and you and I so very much, then why wouldn't we want to talk about it? Why wouldn't we want to live that and show it and exhibit it? You can have one. You can have more than one, actually. Because you lads have been helping out. All right. Have we got everybody round at the back there? Farside hasn't had any yet. All right. Go and help out then, Paul. That's good. We don't want anybody missing.
You guys
have I've got one. I'm not going to suck mine now because it's rude to talk and eat at the same time, isn't it? Yes? But you can. If you'd like to suck your rock, your little piece of minty rock. It is mint rather than sweet, by the way. Then please do. And one of those things, you know, where we're told to, as it were, chew on the word of God. So, in a sense, that's what I'm asking you to do today. Are there any left over? I'll take those home for later. So what might it look like in the light of the readings that we've had and in the light of the life of this church hall? Some here.
Oh, my
yep. Don't want you missing out.
Not for you, all of it. Everyone got one?
Great, good. It's been something of a week in our political history, hasn't it? Yes, I can hear the sarcastic laugh. I mean, do you know where we are anymore?
No.
Are you confused?
Yes.
Do you know whom to believe?
No.
Who you can trust?
No.
I mean, this week we've seen the death of Robert Mugabe, somebody who was very, at first, appeared to be really changing and transforming his community, bringing about the end to apartheid and that separation and inequalities there in Rhodesia, then becoming Zimbabwe. And yet, we realise that over time, the power corrupted, didn't it?
Yes.
And we saw a despot and somebody who actually lived very differently from the way in which he spoke in those early years. Integrity is a premium, it seems to me, now, don't you? I mean, when we are in a position where we've got a Prime Minister who doesn't really feel he can commit to saying he'll keep the law. Whatever your views politically, we want people who are going to be integral to what they believe in. You and I will probably think differently over Brexit. Who knows? But it's about that integrity of belief and making sure that how we live shows something of how God calls us to be. And that's what putting mission and evangelism at the heart of everything is really all about. How do we live the love of God if we believe in it? And how do we talk about it? How do we show that we are his disciples, that we are followers? Because that's what being a disciple is. It's being a follower. It's saying, I'm up for this. Now, we're seeing in our political systems that many of the followers, certainly within the Tory party at the moment, are saying, I'm not up for this. I'm leaving. We just had Amber Rudd's resignation overnight. But you and I are called to a higher calling. Not to a political system, but to following Jesus. And Jesus here speaks to his followers and says, listen, if you're going to follow me, it's going to require a cost. It's expensive. It really is going to cost you to be my followers. He tells that wonderful story, doesn't he, about, you know, you don't start building a tower and then find you've run out of money halfway through. Now, I don't know what your roof costs are going to be, but it does seem sometimes that with our buildings, it's like a bottomless pit, isn't it? And we can see, certainly, within our conversations around Brexit, we really don't know what it's going to cost, and yet we've just walked headlong into whatever it might be. Jesus is saying, come on, let's be sensible about this. You try and mitigate the risks. You try and think about the cost before you start something. He goes on to talk about a war. You don't go into opposing someone who you don't understand their strength. He said, otherwise you'll find yourself defeated and you will not know what to do. You'll be in a worse situation than when you started. So he's using stories of the day, because of course this was a captive people where the Romans had taken over. He's using the context of their day to explain to them why it's important to think carefully about cost. And then he tells them three things that I feel God is asking of us today when he's asking us to become his disciples, to really live integrally, to allow that mission in evangelism, the living and telling of the story, to run through our whole being like a single rock. It should show from us, not just on Sundays, but every day, 24/7. How would that look? Well, I think that Jesus is asking three things of us in that passage. He's saying, listen, if you are going to be my disciples, then I need to have priority in three areas of your life. I need to have priority in your relationships. Because it seems odd, doesn't it, that he says you've got to hate your mother and father. I don't think that's what he's saying at all. I think what he's saying is, I come first. I come first. It's very easy to use our families, our friendships as an excuse, isn't it? Sometimes. To prevent us from going where God calls us, from doing what he is asking of us. We've always got something better to do. And of course our families are important. Our friendships are important. Jesus is saying, listen, if I'm calling you, it's a cost. It means that sometimes you're going to have to choose between what you know to be right, where you need to spend your time. And that will sometimes put you into conflict with other relationships. It can be a challenge. I've been very struck by how many of our young people sometimes, I don't know whether you're aware of the research, but the research suggests that most of us come to faith before the age of 18. The majority of people who would call themselves Christians come to faith before the age of 18. Now, some of us drop out after that for a bit, come back again later, perhaps when our own families grow and we want to share with them something of God's love. And actually, what does that say to us about our young people? Sometimes it's through our young people that parents find faith. Grandparents find faith, because it's often in our young that we see something of the passion of what really matters. Look at climate change. Look at how young people have said, this is important. We want to stand up for this. And they're beginning to convince some of us older ones now, aren't they, about the messages that they're sharing. Well, that's true of faith as well. I've been hearing some wonderful stories about young people who have encouraged their parents, their family, to discover faith, because they said, no, actually, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to church. They've put something before their own families and friendships because it's been important. So, what about you? Is God a priority for you? The second priority, cost if you like, that God calls us to through Jesus' words are, listen, there needs also to be a priority in the way in which you behave, in your activities. It's going to cost you to pick up your cross and follow me. Now we all recall Jesus carrying the burden of his own cross and walking a painful way to Calvary, knowing that others were looking at him, pointing the finger and saying, look at him, he's nothing, he's nobody. How we behave, the activities we engage in, speak something of that love too, if we really want to count ourselves as a disciple. It means that we need to behave differently, the way in which we treat people. How many of us have worked at those relationships that we struggle with? I've said, actually, I recognise that I need to put that right. There's a lot of fracture in our society, isn't there? We're seeing it, yes, through the Brexit process, but that's split families. It's caused people to fall out with one another. And we know that already there's an awful lot of falling out over all sorts of things that really... God is saying to us, listen, if you're the family of God, then your behaviours, the way in which you act should be different. You should be picking up a cross and recognising that there's a way of perhaps putting yourself in a place of shame to say, I'm sorry, I really shouldn't have done that. I'm going to be different from now on. Christ walked that way so that we could do that, so that we could know forgiveness of our sins, and so that we could be forgivers of others. During our Eucharistic prayer, we'll be asking for that forgiveness of God again, as we have done in our confession. And through those words of the Lord's Prayer, we'll say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. How many of us hold on to them? Part of the way in which we pay the cost of discipleship is to ensure that Christ comes first, and that therefore we need to behave as Christ did and live in that sacrificial way, even at cost to ourselves, our own reputation, even if it embarrasses us. We need to do that. And the third cost in that gospel reading is that Jesus says, listen, it's not just about putting me first in your relationships. It's not just about picking up your cross and walking the way that I did. It's also about the things that you have. Are you holding on to your possessions, or are you giving them away? Are you ensuring that you let go of those things that trap us? And let's face it, in society we're all trapped, aren't we? Living up to Mr. and Mrs. Jones next door, the new car, the holiday, whatever it might be. So many things have become essentials to us, haven't they? And yet what really is essential for life, for living? As we look across the wider community of Western and world, we can see poverty, can't we? I think we're beginning to see more and more inequalities in our society. The rich have more, the poor have less. You've got Paul coming back next week to preach to you, and he's involved, as you know, in Church Action Against Poverty, trying to get us to think through some of our behaviours and how we might be different. My husband is a Third Order Franciscan, which means he has a rule of life to live as simply as possible. So we've tried, and it's not easy, we've tried to live simply. It's hard. It costs us to do that, doesn't it? Sometimes it would be so much easier to have that second car so that we didn't have to walk or save the environment or whatever it might be. Or it would be just so much more simple to do certain things. How might we be different? If we're going to be Jesus' disciples, it means prioritising him in our relationships and ensuring that his love is shown in the way in which we love our family and friends, in which we forgive our family and friends. It means picking up our cross and carrying it, even if it's going to hurt at times, to say, actually, we were wrong and he were right. And it's going to mean we've got to think about what we have and do we need it, and who might need it more. As I think of those three things, I'm very chastened in my own heart today as I think about it, and I wonder how Philemon felt when Paul said almost the same to him. It was a personal letter, that letter to Philemon. It's one of the smallest books in the Bible. It speaks a lot, doesn't it, of the love that Paul had for his friend. We don't know much of that story, but we assume they had time together, and perhaps that Philemon had come to faith through Paul's faith. The letter is all about Onesimus. Onesimus was the slave of Philemon, and we assume that Philemon ran away, and in running away came into the company of Paul and discovered God's love for himself. And Paul's letter to Philemon is saying, I want you to take him back. I want you to recognise that Onesimus has changed as you have changed. Onesimus' life has turned around. He may have let you down, but I want you to take him back, not as a slave, but as a brother. Just as God has done for you. God's love cost him. God's love cost him his own son. And that's what we celebrate. And we do celebrate it, even though it's about death. We celebrate in the Eucharist the fact that God loves us so much, loved Paul and Philemon and Onesimus so much, but you and I so much, that he gave himself through his son Jesus to death for you and I. That's the ultimate cost, isn't it, of love? And what Paul is saying to Philemon, and what I think Jesus says to each one of us today, is, are you willing to do the same? Are you willing to love at cost? Are you willing to put right the relationships that have gone wrong? Are you willing to make it change your life in the way in which you live your life, the way in which you use the environment? Are you willing to ensure that God's call on your life is the first call? Because if you are, that table is for you. Each of us is welcome. It's not about having done it. It's not about being perfect. It's not about having sorted our lives out, but it is about the desire to do so. And recognising there will be a cost, and being willing to put one foot in front of the other, and reach out for his transforming love through the power of his Spirit. So as we go into a vacancy, as we go into uncertain times here in this benefice, as well as into uncertain times in our political future. We can do so in faith, knowing that God's love is greatest and that we need to live and tell that love. We need to ensure that it threads through every aspect of who we are so that others can see it too. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your love for us. And we pray that we might love as you have loved. Help us, Lord, to make you first in our lives, in our relationships, in the things that we do, our behaviours, our activities, in the way in which we live our lives, in getting rid of all those things that hold us back and helping us to live simply for you. Help us, Lord, to follow where you lead, to take up our crosses, and to walk in your way. Amen.